Zechariah and Elizabeth are old, really old, well past the age of childbearing, but God has given them a son, John, whose life is caught up in the designs of God. And on the eighth day after John's birth, his parents bring him, as was their custom, to the temple for naming and circumcision. And Zechariah answers the question that's on everybody's hearts: what is this child going to become? Whatever else might have been happening that day in the temple, whatever might happen later through the life of this child, John, it is in line with God's holy covenant with his people. So, from Zechariah's song, these words recorded in Luke's gospel: praise to the Lord God of Israel. He has come to help his people, and he has given them freedom. He has given us a powerful Saviour from the family of his servant David. This is what he promised through his holy prophets long, long ago. He will save us from our enemies and from the power of those who hate us. God said he would show mercy to our fathers and our mothers, and he remembered his holy agreement to do what he said he would do. This was the promise God made to our father Abraham, a promise to free us from the power of our enemies so that we could worship him without a care in the world, in a way that is holy, a way that is right for as long as we live. And now you, my dear little boy, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. You will go ahead before the Lord to prepare the way for him. You will make the people understand that they'll be saved by having their sins forgiven. With the loving mercy of our God, a new day from heaven, the Lord's Messiah, will shine on us. It will bring light to those who are living in darkness, to those who are sitting in the shadow of death. It will guide us into the way that brings us peace.
And our gospel reading continues with Luke. It was the 15th year of the rule of the Emperor Tiberius. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip was ruler of the territory of Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler of Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. At that time, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. So John went throughout the whole region along the River Jordan, preaching, "Turn away from your sins and be baptized, and God will forgive your sins." As it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "Someone is shouting in the desert, 'Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel. Every valley must be filled up, every hill and mountain leveled off. The winding roads must be made straight and the rough paths made smooth. All mankind will see God's salvation." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Loving God, through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, we lit the second candle in the Advent wreath because today is the second Sunday in Advent. The word Advent comes from the Latin meaning coming or arrival. Beginning four Sundays prior to Christmas and ending on Christmas Eve, the 4 weeks of Advent are for preparing for the coming, arrival, or advent of Jesus. It's the time when most prepare to celebrate Christmas Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Advent can be a busy time. Some of us are already getting out our Christmas music. Some of us are in the process of Christmas gift shopping. Some are dusting off Christmas trees. Some are locating Christmas decorations. And some are even starting to organise the menu for Christmas dinner. And some are thinking about visiting family and friends. And most of us are looking forward to Christmas. But often we're so involved in the business of Christmas that we tend to neglect the meaning. In ancient times, when a king or ruler decided to visit one of his cities, he would send his courtiers or heralds ahead of him to inform that city of his proposed visit. No mail delivery, telegrams, fax machines, smartphones, or email then. The heralds would make sure that the city was spruced up. They would say to the city leaders, "The king is coming. Clean up, sweep the streets, fix the roads, make it all good for the king." And sometimes huge preparations were made, such as excavations and levelling of roads to make sure they were smooth, straight and level. Heralds were on site to make sure the city was fit for the arrival of the ruler. In our reading today from Luke's Gospel, John the Baptist was acting like an ancient herald. He was announcing the king is coming. He was preparing the way for Jesus by calling people to get ready. And for Jesus, that meant one thing: repentance. Now, it seems strange talking about repentance and forgiveness, and that message doesn't seem festive or celebratory, or does it? Think about it. John's message was that something wonderful was about to happen. He saw himself as the herald of God, preparing the way for the promised Messiah. Mark, in his gospel, described John as God's messenger or herald, predicted by Isaiah, and dressed somewhat primitively, much like Elijah. But John, in preparing the way for Jesus, recited familiar words of hope and joy from the 40th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Words which were about God wanting to comfort the Hebrew people, people who'd spent more than 50 years of slavery and suffering in Babylon. Those people were expecting God to send them a saviour. Isaiah's message was a message of hope. By quoting Isaiah, John was also wanting to give hope as he called people to repent and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. What's meant by that word, repentance? It's not feeling sorry for something or giving something up. Repentance is turning away from something that does us no good to something that is good, something that is right for us. The passage which John quoted and which Julie read to us this morning reads, and this is from a different translation, "A voice cries out, 'Prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Fill every valley, level every mountain. The hills will become a plain and the rough country will be made flat. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it.' The Lord himself has promised this." Now, mountains, valleys and rough places are mentioned many times in the Bible. And those of you who've been to Israel will understand why. There are many mountains, valleys and rough places there. And that part of the world seems to have more than its fair share of rocks and stones. There's an old legend that when God was creating the world, the angels were helping. And God gave one of them a bag of stones and told that angel to distribute them evenly over the face of the earth. And according to the legend, when that angel was flying over Israel, the bag burst. There are many steep mountains in that part of the world, and particularly in the area known as the wilderness, it would have been difficult for people to climb those mountains and traverse those valleys. Isaiah's hope was that when the day of the Lord came, mountains would be lowered to the level of the plains, valleys would be filled, rough places would be made smooth and flat, and everybody would recognise it as the wonderful work of God. Now, the lowering of mountains can be done in several ways. They can be lowered by human ingenuity and skill. Years ago, in our state, when the Southeastern Freeway was being constructed and the Hyson Tunnels excavated, we actually saw this text being fulfilled. Mountains were lowered, valleys were filled during that time. We heard the explosives, we saw the bulldozers, as the difficulties of that road were removed. Instead of being windy and narrow, especially with that really sharp bend, the Devil's Elbow, and passing the Eagle on the Hill, that road now goes straight through the Hyson Tunnels. Using explosives and bulldozers is one way of lowering a mountain and filling in a valley. And mountains can also be lowered by the forces of nature, by erosion, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and landslides. Let us allegorise Hosea's words and assume that those mountains are mountains of personal difficulty. Those valleys are valleys of private depression. And the rough places and rough patches are part of everyday living. We all have our mountains of difficulty and our valleys of depression. We all have rough patches of worry, anxiety, grief, sorrow and loss. Responsibilities of making ends meet. Worries and problems with our families, our children, our grandchildren. Problems in our world, our country, our churches, even in church groups, can be mountains, valleys and rough patches. Sometimes we don't know how we'll be able to cope with or solve some of these mountains, valleys or rough patches. Just as the explosives, bulldozers and heavy machinery transformed the Southeastern Freeway, we could turn to human skill or an ingenuity to solve or alleviate some of these problems. We could ask doctors, psychiatrists, ministers or counsellors to help by using their skills. Our friends with patience, sympathy, prayer and understanding can help. But Isaiah was not talking literally about slicing off part of a hill and using it to fill in a valley, nor about scraping a few boulders out of the way to make a smooth and level path, nor about levelling of mountains to the plains over a long period of time by process of nature. He certainly had no thought of heavy machinery or explosives. He was writing about the power of God and the love of God to restore us, to heal us, to inspire us, to help us discover life in all its fullness. During this time of Advent, some of us might not be looking forward to Christmas all that much. Perhaps for some of us, it hasn't been a good year. In fact, it might have been an awful year. Perhaps during this year, some of us have lost a loved one or a friend. Perhaps some of us have been let down by people we've trusted. Perhaps a dream has been shattered. Whether we've had a good year or a bad year, a sorrowful year or a happy year, a year of mountains, valleys and rough places, or a joyous year full of hope and blessings, the message of Christmas comes to each one of us, assuring us that God is with us and God loves us. God is concerned about us, loves us, and will support us, all of us. God knows all about our fears, concerns, sorrows, problems, and cares, as well as our hopes and dreams and plans for the future. We're always surrounded by God's grace, helping to lower mountains, fill in valleys, and smooth rough places in our lives. But God does not achieve this without cost. For the only way that mountains can be leveled, valleys filled in, is through the death and resurrection of Jesus. In his book, Courage to Begin Again, Ariel Davis wrote these words. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a saviour. Because of that gift of a saviour, we're able to have a personal relationship with God. Because of that gift of a saviour, we are never on our own. God is always with us. God is not just any counsellor. God is our counsellor. God is not just any deity. God is our God. God is not peace in some theoretical way. God is our peace. Advent is a time to remember and thank God for what God has done for us, is doing, and will do in the future. It's a time of hope and preparation for that future day when there'll be no more pain or sorrow. A time when Jesus will come again and when we'll have God's kingdom in all its fullness. During the next 2 weeks and a bit, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us remember it's about God's Son coming to us with hope, love, peace, and support. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us remember how Jesus, God's Son, came into this world, took on human form, lived and died in order to forgive people like us. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us believe those words of comfort from the book of Isaiah. And let us ask our risen Lord to bring healing to our lives and the lives of those we love by levelling all those mountains, filling every one of those valleys, and making all those rough places in our lives smooth. And we can then say with Isaiah and John the Baptist, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. The Lord himself has promised it." Let's pray. God of hope, peace, promise, and expectation, be with us throughout this Advent time and draw us close to you as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We pray that each one of us will have faith to believe that you can level every mountain of difficulty, fill every valley of depression, and make smooth all the rough places in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.